I pray that the peace of God will bless and be upon you. Amen. We started yesterday with the epistle of James, and James was the brother of Jesus. And if you wanted to know something about Jesus, you know, usually it's the people closest. Is it me? Usually it's people closest to the person you want to know about. So James was basically growing up seeing Jesus. And we know that James became a believer after Jesus. Is it me? Is it my microphone? They need to screw it in. No, it's in. So, and James became a believer after Jesus has resurrected. So, and you know, many people became believers when Jesus has resurrected. And this is foundation of our faith, right? That Jesus has been resurrected. And we believe based on that truth, the same way he will resurrect me and you if we happen to die. Amen. Maybe hopefully we'll get there, you know, without seeing death. Who knows? But we believe that Jesus will come for us. So today we talk about how to be blessed by the Bible. You know, in America, we have Bibles everywhere. It's in the grocery stores, you know, you go to a thrift store, you know, you buy a Bible there. It's in the bookstore, in the library. When I first came to America in 2007 and we stayed at the hotel, and I was surprised, I was amazed that in the drawer in our room, there's a Bible. Because we come, you know, I personally come, you know, from the country that you have to fight, you know. Maybe I'll take, you know, one of those mics, so that I don't scare you anymore.
Let's try.
Is it on, this mic? Okay. So in country where I come from, you know, you have to stand, you have to convince people, you know, that the Bible is the Word of God. Coming here to America, you know, everybody knows and accept the Word of God. But unfortunately, you know, the blessing of the Bible are not automatic. The fact that you have Bible in your home, and now obviously probably you have many Bibles, you have at least a couple of translations. Now, you know, we use Bible on our devices, our tablets, our phones. But the blessing of the Bible, friends, it's not automatic. You can, you know, watch TV, and there's a lot of, you know, Christian programs. You listen to the radio, you know, you have YouTube videos, you listen to podcasts, but still, it does not mean that you will be blessed, that Bible is going to make a difference in your life, right? And by the way, if you have facts about the Bible, you know, in a year, at least in recent year, there are 500 million Bibles published in the world, in more than 18,000 different languages. You know, in America, we are flooded with the Word of God, but still, it's not automatic. Why? Because the Bible is the book of blessing, right? Yeah, it promises comfort, it promises strength, it promises support, it promises, you know, purpose. But just because you have the Bible does not mean you will be blessed by it. And James, being a practical, we talked about yesterday, that James is very practical. James doesn't talk theology. He's very practical, and he knew what the church, you know, church in the first century have been dealing with. So he's very practical, and he dealt right to the issue. So, and James gives us a couple of steps how to be blessed by the Bible. In verse 25, you read, okay, now this one is not one, listen to me. Yeah, if you guys want to just follow me, you know, with the slides and change the slides. In verse 25, James says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, by doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. What everybody will be? Everybody will be blessed by having your Bible in your pocket, having five Bibles in your home. No, by doing. what it says. So number one, what we have to do, we have to receive God's word if we want to be blessed by it. So number one, I have to be blessed. I have to receive. And in verse 21, James says, humbly accept the word of God planted in you. And word accept, literally from Greek, means hospitality. So you welcome the word of God in your life. You welcome the word of God in your heart. Like, welcome. Hey, come on over. Get in. I'm glad you are here. So if we want to be blessed by the word of God, we have to welcome. Not just welcome, you know, the book itself, like the hard copy, you know. And we, you know, very often we are proud that we are still, you know, climb to the, you know, to the hard copy of the Bible and don't really take seriously, like, oh, like you're reading the Bible on your phone, on your tablet. It's not serious, you know, man. Come on, so hard copy, it's a real, you know, spirituality. And we are, but it's not that. It's when you welcome the word in your heart, right? And we are going to talk about that. So, and James gives us an illustration of a garden and a seed. And very often the seed in the Bible is compared, right? A Bible is compared, the word of God is compared with a seed, right? So you plant the seed and then it grows. So you plant the seed of the word of God and it grows in your life. So the word of God is a seed and it's planted in our hearts. And how is that, friends, that you can take two very similar or the same seeds, you plant it in two different, maybe, you know, spots in your garden, and you can get two completely different results. How is that that you take two people coming here right now, today, you have two people, you know, coming here, listening to the same message, sitting, you know, on the same row, and one person leaves the church and he says, I was so much blessed today, it was so great, it was so moving, the Holy Spirit, I could feel it. And the second person says, it was like nothing, you know, I didn't feel anything. Why? Because one heart was prepared. One soil was prepared and the other was not. So that's what James says, we have to receive it. So our heart has to be ready to receive it, right? Our soil has to be good to receive it. And, you know, one thing is to get prepared, but James also says we must receive the word of God with the right attitude. Right? With the right attitude. Well, sometimes we read the Bible and we, you know, we even use, you know, like, what's the English word for, like, index symphony, like concordance, right? Concordance. So we look for specific words, you know, to find something, to prove something, or maybe even to, you know, to find a mistake in someone's life and we want to prove from the Bible that they're wrong. But James says, no. You have to receive God's word with the right attitude. So what he's talking about? Number one, he says, be careful, right? In verse 9, be quick to listen. Did you notice that God gave us two ears and only one mouth? Why is that? So that we would hear and listen as twice much as we would speak. So twice as much you have to listen and hear, and then less you gotta speak, right? So be alert, don't miss it, slow to speak. You know, when you talk, when I'm talking, I'm not listening. So if you want to learn something, so you listen. You are listening, you're not talking. I know that we like to talk, and we think that more we talk, you know, the better people will think of us. But many of our problems are caused by the way we speak, and we speak very quickly, sometimes even without giving it a thought, right? Without thinking. So, but James says, be ready, be intent, be ready to receive, listen. And I listen and I learn from people of all ages, younger folks, you know, older folks. I listen because when I listen, I can find something I can learn. Then James says, be calm. Number two, Be calm. If you are going to receive God's word and be blessed by it, right, in verse 19, so the second part, slow to become angry. You know, that increased attitude or relaxed attitude increases receptivity. If you are relaxed, if you are calm, people can communicate with you, right? When you're nervous, when you are stressful, you're not receptive. You cannot listen. You cannot hear anything. You know, actually, sometimes we ask, how come God never speaks to me? Maybe you've got some resentment in your life and you just didn't get a chance, some quiet time and some quiet place to listen. And you just talk and talk and talk, and then God cannot talk to you back because you don't listen. So, you know, when you speak, actually, so the study shows that when you listen, it actually lowers your blood pressure. So when you listen, when you speak, it's a little raises your blood pressure. And when you argue, you can even feel, right, even your hairs, you know, on your head start moving. So that's why James says, listen, calm down, relax. Listen, think about that. And then number three, before number three, what is your emotional state normally when you get to church on Sabbath morning? You know, unfortunately for many families, you know, Sabbath morning, you know, is a kind of hectic time. It's very busy, you know, it gets crazy, you know, we rush to the church, you know, and then we come here, we're nervous, we're stressful, you know, if we are late, and then we're not ready to sit down and listen to what God has to speak to me. So maybe you have to get a little earlier. Maybe you want to get here a little bit earlier, you know, and just sit, just get ready, just tune in and listen. Number three, James says, be clean, right? Get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. Before you can plant the seed, right, you need to do a little weeding, right? Those who do gardening. So before you plant the seed, right, you remove the weeds, right? You get the soil ready. So you remove everything, all these junks, guys, that fills your lives, that fills your heart. You get rid of it. Otherwise, how are you going to listen? How are you going to understand? How are you going to receive God's word if there is so much clogged in? Right, there's no space for God's word in our lives if it's filled with all kind of stuff. It's all kind of stuff. The word filth that God says you've got to get rid of, you know, it's actually the Greek word that means earwax. Right? So usually we clean our ears so that we... So, and God says there is some earwax that blocks your hearing. So you listen to the words, but you do not hear. It doesn't get... Well, it gets to your ears, but then it doesn't go through. It doesn't get into your heart. And there's a problem with that. How can we be clean, friends? Of course, by confession. By confession to God. And John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, right? God is He's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? One of the translations says, get rid of all wrongdoing. Otherwise you can read, but nothing's going to happen in your life. You're going to listen, but the words do not get through all the way to your heart. And number four, he says, be compliant, right? Verse 21, it means be teachable, yielded, humble, willing to be changed. You know, many times, you know, we as Adventists, oh, I've been to church, you know, like for 20 years. I know the stuff. And that's it. You stop growing. As soon as you stop growing, as soon as you say, I know that, as soon as you say, I don't need that, you stop becoming teachable. And that's called pride, right? What are you going to teach me? You know, I know all the stuff. I've been through all the lessons. I've been through all the study. And then, as soon as we say that, the word of God cannot get to us. So, and I have friends, like one of them, you know, and he said, he left church and he says, well, probably my issue is that it's my pride. I just don't like anybody to teach me. I don't like anybody to say what I do wrong or right. And God says, excuse me, if you do not want to change, if you not want to listen, right, I cannot help you. And God says, if you want to be blessed first, you have to receive it, right? Be receptive with these hearing aids that we've just named, right? But also reception itself is not enough. James says we are not only to receive the word of God, but we have to reflect on the word of God. Reflect on the word of God. Let's read verses 23 and 24. Anyone who listens to the word of God but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at the face in the mirror and after looking at himself immediately goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Right? So James is using illustration of a mirror. What's the purpose of a mirror, friends? Can mirror change you? Can mirror wash you? Can mirror wipe away, you know, the stains after the maybe, you know, the sleepless night? No, the purpose of a mirror is to evaluate you. So you look at the mirror and you get an idea, right? So what do I need to do right now? And then you do something about it, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't look at the mirror. So you look at the mirror and you know, hey, I need to, you know, to comb my hairs. Or I need to wash my face. Or I need to do something, right? So that I look, you know, nicer. And Bible, friends, Bible is a spiritual mirror. And many people don't like to look at the Bible because they don't want to change. They're afraid to see and hear what Bible has to say about them. And they don't want to change. They don't want to do anything about that. Because when you look at the Bible, you evaluate yourself. And then next step is an action. What are you going to do about that? And people afraid about that. And that's why some of the people don't want to read, don't want to study. They're afraid, unwilling to face themselves and see who they really are, what they really are. So how do you reflect on the Word of God, right? How do you reflect? First, you read it, right? So we know all that, right? So we read, and James says, the man who looks intently into the perfect law. And he's actually talking more about research than reading, right? So it's something that we have here, like during the Sabbath school, right? So it's not just reading, but especially now if you're reading the book of Isaiah, right? So we're studying the book of Isaiah on the Sabbath school. Well, reading itself is not going to help because Isaiah is a very hardcore, right? So you really have to take some time and get to know what is it talking about, especially when you talk about geography, about history, and you have all these countries, all these kings, you know, and they were fighting, and there's so much. So just reading itself is not going to help. So you need to take a pen, maybe, you know, couple extra of dictionaries, couple of commentaries, and dig in and research. So James is talking about like researching and investigating. The word look here in Greek means to stoop down and gaze in. You know, that's the same word is used when Peter, when he ran to the tomb to see that Jesus was not there, he stooped down and he gazed in. He looked inside. He investigated. Hey, is really Jesus gone? Is that true? So when it says look at the perfect law, it's not just to read, you know, a verse a day, but you study, you investigate, right? That's why I like, you know, different translations. And now, even in Russian language, you know, for years we had only just one translation, you know, in Russian language. And we were just kind of, you know, we didn't have choice. So now we have at least three or four translations. And when you use different translations of the Bible, it enriches your experience. You know, different word, different, you know, details, something is. And all this gives us a better and clear picture of the Word of God. So it's good to, you know, to use different translations, have different Bibles so that we can look, we can investigate. You know, there's also two ways to look at the mirror. You can gaze at it or you can glance at it. So all of us have done both, right? It's human nature that if you walk by a mirror, it's just human nature, right? As soon as we walk by the mirror, we will look at it, right? And when you glance at it, you immediately walk away and you forget what you... So glance, it's really briefly, right? So you just glanced and you walk away and you forget. It didn't do anything good to you, right? Many people try to have a quiet time that way. They don't want to gaze at it, but glance at it. Because gazing, usually, you know, it's longer, and it means that you look and you start doing something about it, right? So give God 5 minutes. Give God 10 minutes. Don't just read a verse a day and leave. Spend 5-10 minutes. Read it again. Read maybe the verse before, verse after. Look at the different translation, right? And then maybe third translation. And then ask God, God, what is it here that you want to say to me? Just give God few seconds. You know, I like that acronym, you know, where it's easy kind of to remember. And then where each letter stands for something. So when you read the passage, you read the story, right? And you want to investigate, you want to look intently. So you basically ask yourself a couple of questions, like any story, like which one you like. Fall, right, at the Garden of Eden, right, Adam and Eve, for example. You read the story about Eve, you know, falling and, you know, eating the fruit, and then, you know, she would give it to Adam. So you read the story, and then you ask yourself a couple of questions. So first, is there a sin to confess, like for my life? Because usually we look at the Bible and we want to apply it to our lives. So you ask yourself, is there a sin to confess, right? And then you ask, is there a promise to claim? Right? So look at promises. You have so many promises in the Bible. Someone said that at least you have 365 promises which say, do not be afraid. So it means for every single day, you have a promise of God that says, do not be afraid. So look, is there a promise? And like with Adam and Eve, we know that God promised that Messiah, like Genesis 3:15, right? Messiah will come and he will save you. Is there an attitude to change? Right? So when you talk about Adam, so is there an attitude to change? So you ask yourself, and then if you do it with your wife or spouse or children, you know, you can ask and you can discuss, you can exchange your ideas. Is there a command to obey, right? Is there a command to obey? And every passage is going to be different, right? Every passage is going to have something and, you know, something is not going to be there. And then P, is there a prayer to pray? Is it the next one? Is there a prayer to pray, right? And there are lots of prayer in the Bible. So I'm now doing, you know, in my churches, I'm doing weekly prayer live stream. So one in the morning in Russian and one in the evening in English. And just, you know, I mean, amazing prayer. Just recently, it was the prayer of Nehemiah. You know, when he is interceding on behalf of his people, Daniel is praying, you know, also on behalf of his people. And he, you know, amazing about Daniel and other prayer warriors, they thank God that he was faithful to his promises even before they were fulfilled. And that's called faith. When you can God for something that you haven't received yet, that's a faith. So there's so many prayers in the Bible that you can be blessed by. And then E, is there an error to avoid? Right, so you read and you ask, is there an error to avoid? And you look at your life. Is there truth to believe? Is there something I need to believe God? Right, so it's just one of the ways you can study your Bible. Right, and the last one, is there something to thank God for? is there. And of course, there's something. There's always something to thank God. When we thank God, when we have a grateful heart, we are being changed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. So that's how you look intently, right? That's how you look intently at the Word of God, friends. So look for the details. And James says that we need to receive the Word of God. We need to reflect on the Word of God, right? But also we need to review it. So in verse 25, it says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues in it, right? So it's something that you keep going, something that you go over and over again. And the Bible calls it meditation, right? I mean, I'm not talking about Eastern practices. You know, when you think about something over and over again, it's called meditation. If you take a negative thought and you think about it over and over again, that's called worry. If you take the Word of God, like the passage, like something, you know, like a verse, and you think over and over it again and again, it's called meditation. Right? So you think about it over and over again. And the Bible says, meditate on God's Word. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in my Word, then you are truly my disciples. So read it and then review it. That's why, you know, it's dumb to say, oh, I've read this passage, you know, like before, maybe like 5 years. Why should I need... You know, and usually when we start reading a Bible reading plan, you know, usually with the Genesis. And then I got to start with the Genesis. I've read it so many times. Why do I have to start with the Genesis again? Why? Because Jesus says, continue. It means go over and over again. By the way, you'll be amazed that every time you read something you've read before, you'll find something new. I promise. I promise, because that's how deep and great the Word of God. David says in Psalm 119, I meditate on your word all day long. What does it mean? It means that I think about your word over and over again, right? It can be a passage, just one verse. But you don't forget it, you know, to the middle day. Like, you know, you eat your lunch and you think, well, what was devotional, you know, this morning about? I forgot. No. If you meditate, so it means you think about that over and over again, it will stay with you. Every businessman, friends, we have so many businessmen here in this church. Every businessman has to memorize Joshua 1:8. If you all do one thing that God promises, then God promises you success. If you do one thing and you dwell, let's see, what is that? So Joshua, is it here? It's not even here, right? What Joshua 1:8 says? What Joshua 1:8 says? You dwell in the Word of God, right? You dwell, you keep the law of God. You dwell, right? So you continue. You go over and over again in the Word of God. So if you do just one thing, God says that you will be successful in all that you do, right? If you dwell in the Word of God. So read it and review it continually. Stay in it and be faithful. How many, friends, how many of you believe everything that you see in the news, on TV, on the radio? How many of you believe? We don't believe. So then why we spend so much watching TV, listening to the radio, reading the news, and don't spend enough time to what we really do believe, right? And spend little time in it. So we need to fill our mind with the Word of God. So then it's just gonna change our lives without even us trying. You know, usually our issue is that we try to change ourselves. Instead of letting the Word of God, just by filling our minds, letting it change us. The other one is remembering it, right? James says, not forgetting what he has heard. It's a really good discipline when you memorize. And I'm sure there is verses that you know from the early age. When you were, you know, a young boy or young girl, you know, and now if you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s, I'm sure you have some verses that you've memorized being a young boy. I do. And it's so great that you can memorize, that you can quote, that you can, you know, then recite the Word of God. And it's really, it's enriching, it's developing our spiritual well-being. So it's really good to memorize. Listen to what David says in Psalm 119. Is it here? Psalm 119, 11. Thy word I have hid in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Right? So I hid. It means it's there. I memorized it with my mind and with my heart. So memorize. Take notes. Write things down. If you value God's word, you're going to take things down. You know, the study shows that you will forget 95% of what you've heard today just by Wednesday. And that's a crucial, you know, crucial and depressing statistics for the pastor, you know, that you forget 95% by the midweek. But if you write things down, if you take some notes, you can always come back. You can always review it. So that's why receive God's word with the right attitude. Reflect on God's word by reading, reviewing, remembering it. But that's not yet, because the last one, James says, I must respond to the word of God. I must respond. I must do something about it. I must act. I must live on it. Amen? And James says in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Why James says that? Why does he say that? Because there are believers who did that. They would just listen and they would say, hey, I went to the church, I listened to what, you know, being preached, and that's it. Then they would not apply, they would not bring that to life. And James says, there is a problem with that. Practice. What good is a mirror, friends, if you look at the mirror and then you do nothing about it, right? So how the Word of God is going to help you? Because knowledge is not going to change you. Knowledge is not going to help you unless you put it in practice. Amen? And that's why James says, do not merely be listeners. And it's not just back then, 2,000 years ago. It's even now. You have people who are just content by listening and not taking that to action. And we've been all noticed, you know, committing that sin. Listening, knowing what's right, and not doing what's right. And that's dangerous, and that's very sad. So if you, you know, when you attend college, you take like a class for a credit, right? So you do all the assignments, you know, you take the test, you pass the test. But then there is an option to audit the class. So you're basically present. You're just listening. No intention, you know, to take any notes. No intentions to remember. No intentions, you know, to do homework. No intentions and no requirements to pass, you know, a test, you know, do an exam or go and practice. You're just an auditor. And we have so many people, you know, in the church today who are just auditors. Oh, I listened. And then that's enough. And that's unfortunate, and that's why James is so serious about being, you know, doers of the word and not just listeners of the... James says it's a self-deception, right? We don't let it change us. We think that gaining content is a spiritual maturity, right? Just listening, just reading, but it's not enough. A lot of us, you know, a lot of people have great Bible knowledge, but they're the spiritual midgets. A lot of knowledge, but they're still spiritual babies. right? So I need to practice, I need to apply, I need to put it to practice in my life. And believe me, people will see it. You know, usually we're concerned, oh, what I'm going to say so that, you know, it sounds nice, you know, so people will respect me. No. You got to think, how am I behaving so that people will say, this is the man of God. This is the woman of God. And they follow and they let the Bible change them from within. Amen. You know, knowledge increases responsibility, right? If you think, oh, I just gonna listen. Knowledge increases responsibility. The more you know, the more you are accountable for. Amen? What I'm doing about what I know. And Jesus says in Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much is required, right? So knowledge is not it. It's about what have you done with knowledge. And that's what God is going to ask you. When God is going to see you at the judgment day, He's not going to ask you, why haven't been more like, you know, brother so-and-so? Why haven't been more like your pastor? Why haven't you been more like, you know, elder in the church? He will ask you, what have you done with what I have given you? What have you done with what you have known for years? What have you done with that? And that's what we really have to be concerned. You know, let's just imagine, you know, that that you just decide, folks, here, well, at least in my church, I said, and you decide me, you know, you decide to, you know, take care of my health, and you want to give, you know, you want to give me a fitness book. And you'll say, Pastor, that book will change your life. It's a bestseller. It has changed the lives of so many people. Pastor, just take it and you give me the book and I leave. And I come back in 6 months. But I come back not changed, like not an inch, not a pound, you know, nothing. And you're like, haven't you read the book? And I'm saying to you, no, I've read the book. It's an amazing book. It's a great book. I've read it actually several times. By the way, every night before going to sleep, I would read, you know, paragraph or two paragraph. Well, I even organized groups and we discussed, you know, the chapters from the book. Well, I even memorized whole paragraphs from the book. It's an amazing book. I love this book. Thank you. What will you say to me? Well, Pastor, you are, you know, dumb. You had to put it to practice. You have to do what it says, not just read it or review it or remember or study. Right? Sometimes we look dumb when we read and we investigate, we search, and we know what's right. And then we go and not do what we know we should do. And that's why James says it's a self-deception, right? Don't do this. And how often do we do that to the Word of God, right? We give awards for memorizing Scripture, but we don't give awards for doing Scripture. We get a patch that says, I read the Bible, but don't give the patch that says, I did the Bible. You see the difference? I read the Bible or I did the Bible. We need to mark our Bibles. We need to mark our Bible. That's fine. But also we need the Bible mark us. So let the Bible change us. It's not how many times you've been through the Word of God. It's how many times the Word of God has been through you. You've got to be a doer of the Word. You know, I deceived myself in thinking that because I have knowledge, it made me mature. Just because I have knowledge, or maybe a degree, right? It made me a man of God. No. Having knowledge in bodybuilding, you know, of bodybuilding book, fitness, doesn't produce muscles, right? But exercising, applying, doing what it says, that's what changes me. You know, you can hear the Word of God 24 hours a day, you know, but It's all about what you're going to do about it. And then I don't believe that sermon is going to really change you. Right? Well, you listen to the sermon, and then you have a choice. Right? It's like a seed. What you're going to do with the seed? You have a choice. What you're going to do with the sermon? Are you going to try it? Or you'll just say, I'll just pass it on, you know, maybe next time. So that's why it's not how many hours or how many times you visited here. You know, sitting in the church is not going to make you a Christian, just like sitting in the garage is not going to make you a car. Right? But reading the Bible, applying the Bible, searching God through the Bible, having relationship with God through the Bible, that's what makes you Christian. Amen. And that's why it's not about having the Bible or understanding the Bible, but also about applying what it says. So James says, if you want to be blessed, you've got to live the Word of God. Not just know it, not just hear it, not just understand. You've got to live the Word of God. Because I really like when Bible is being made simple. You know, when it says, love your neighbor. It's very simple. Do something for the people around you. Pray for them. Listen to them. Help one another. Support. Encourage one another. Right? Vitamin E. People need encouragement. So give them what they need, not what they deserve. That's being practical. That's what means living the Bible, being practical, being a blessing for people, not being judges of the people. So I pray that this church will develop a reputation in this community that people will say, hey, the Nixa Sevens, the Adventist Church, it's people who do, who live the Bible, not just preach and not just say and not just understand better than others, but they are the doers of the Word. Amen. And God, I'm sure God wants to have that. They live it. You know, there is a Living Bible translation. So you ought to be a living Bible. The best translation of the scripture is when you translate it into your life. Amen. It sounds beautiful in English. Sorry, my Russian friends. It's different in Russian. So verse 25, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You see, if you want to be blessed, you ought to do when it says. And by the way, if you want to really bring your children to God, if you really want to influence, impact your children, it's not what you say, because they can say the same, but it's what you do. And that's a real struggle, friends. Parents, it's a real struggle to do what it says, because my kids, they're watching me, and they will repeat after me, not what I say. Because they know what the Bible says. They want to see how is that to apply the Bible. And that's where the challenge is, friends. When they see hypocrisy, when they hear us saying one thing and then we do differently, that's what breaks our children's heart. And they leave the church. Because they say, I better be in the world, but I'll be honest. I'll be honest. I don't want to say one thing and do the opposite. So that's why for us as parents, especially, it is so crucial. Jesus said in John 13:17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Amen. Do you want to do them? You know, I think that simple definition of maturity, because yesterday we talked about maturity, is applying the Word of God in your life, is to be a doer. And ask yourself a question. That's the last question I'm going to ask. Ask yourself a question. What do people know me for? Like your neighbors. Do they know you only that at 10 a.m. or at 9 a.m. you leave your home and you go to church and that's it? Is that only what your neighbor know you for? Or they know you because you are polite and you talk to them and you help them if they in help. If you do something, if you participate, if you volunteer something, and they know you because you are active in this community. If you love people and you care for people, and that's what people will know you for. So ask yourself that question. And then, of course, James, you know, finishes this passage and says that, of course, you know, we can talk whole sermons about that. But one of the ways you can know that you are a doer of the word, one of the tests, simple tests, if you want to know, am I a doer of the word or am I just a listener? I'm just a, you know, a theoretic. So three simple tests. First test, if you want to know if you're a doer, if you have a controlled mouth, if you can control your mouth. And yesterday we more extensively we talked about that, right? Because James says about that. One of the ways you know that you apply the word of God, if you have a controlled mouth. The other one, if you have a caring heart, right? I have it here. So controlled mouth, caring heart, right? Religion that God our Father accept as pure as faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. So if you have a caring heart, if your heart hurts when you see people in need, and the third one is a clean mind, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So it's spiritual integrity. So that's how you know if you are a doer of the word. You have a controlled mouth, caring heart, and a clean mind. That is genuine Christianity, right? So Jesus is going to ask you, what have you done with what I have gave you, right? With what you've known from the beginning. And maybe you have to start reading a Bible every day. Just say, I'm going to commit. You know, I really love like Bible apps. You have so many Bible apps. You have so many reading plans, so many devotional plans. You know, we have so many books available that will lead you and guide us through the Bible. If you think that's hard for you, there is always a good tool for you, the best tool for you. So maybe you got to start with it 5 minutes a day, maybe 10. Maybe you've got to start, you know, writing notes. Like, what did I learn from this passage? Because when you reflect, when you start taking notes, you know, it suddenly transforms. You start to understand. Or maybe you need a partner to read it together. And then maybe something else that you will apply the word. Maybe find some other place where you could, you know, pour your love or God's love to people around you. Just helping, caring, volunteering, doing something. So find something that will help you to get up. Maybe it's reading Sabbath school weekly. Maybe it's getting ready for the Sabbath school. Maybe it's something else. Maybe reading, you know, our family, we've tried homeschooling. Not e-learning, not online learning, but homeschooling. So basically my wife is a teacher. And it's really great, you know, there's no fixed schedule. You can get up at 8 or 9 a.m., you know, no rush. Because before we were really into the rush, we would drive 40 minutes to Christian school. You know, it was so stressful, you know, so much. And there was no time to read the Bible. Because they would get to bed by 8 p.m., you know, and everything's so fast. Now, on homeschooling, you know, there is some other challenges. But on homeschooling, you wake up, you know, slowly. At least we spend 30 to 40 minutes doing devotional, reading different devotional, reading a passage from the Bible, you know, a story. Now we go through 1 Samuel. You know, there's so much stories. And we just discuss. So maybe you want to decide to start reading Bible with your kids, you know, and just reflecting and discussing. Hey, what do you think about that? Hey, and you can say, I don't understand. What does it mean? Let's explore together. It's okay to say, I don't know. Let me look at some, you know, other sources to help me to understand. Find something that will help you to read the Word of God, to reflect, to receive it, and to be a doer of the Word. Amen. And that is my prayer for you today. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the living word. And we thank you for Jesus Christ who actually came and the Word became flesh and we could see, like literally see what's your Word and what's your truth is all about. It's not just about theory and knowing the right stuff, but loving people. And that's what Jesus did. He cared for people. He accepted them. He served them. He ministered them. He was around people to take care of their needs. And that's what your love is all about. God, we thank you for having this Word and that you open our eyes, you open our hearts, our minds to see and understand. But also, Father, we need encouragement to do what we know is right. We need strength to do what we know is right. We need support from one another. We don't want to put people down. We want to support and uplift people so that we all do what's right for your glory and for others' sakes and their salvation. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.